With that he flung his beggar's sack across his shoulders, torn and tattered, slung from a fraying rope. Eumaeus gave him a staff that met his needs. Then the two moved out, leaving behind them dogs and herdsmen to stay and guard the farm. And so the servant led his master toward the city, looking for all the world like an old and broken beggar hunched on a stick, his body wrapped in shameful rags. Down over the rugged road they went, till hard by town they reached the stone-rimmed fountain running clear where the city people came and drew their water. Ithacus built it once, with Neritus and Polycto. Round it a stand of poplar thrived on the dank soil, all in a nestling ring, and down from a rock ledge overhead the cold water splashed, and crowning the fountain rose an altar-stone erected to the nymphs, where every traveller paused and left an offering. Here Dolius's son Melanthius crossed their path, herding his goats, with a pair of drovers' help, the pick of his flocks, to make the suitors' meal. As soon as he saw them there, he broke into a flood of brutal foul abuse that made Odysseus's blood boil. "Look," he sneered, "one scum nosing another scum along. Dirt finds dirt by the will of God, it never fails, stinking pig-boy. Where do you take your filthy swine, this sickening beggar who licks the pots at feasts? Hanging round the doorposts, rubbing his back, scavenging after scraps. No hero's swords and cauldrons, not for him. Hand him over to me, I'll teach him to work a farm, muck out my stalls, pitch feed to the young goats. Whey to drink will put some muscle on his hams. Oh no, he's learned his lazy ways too well. He's got no itch to stick to good hard work. He'd rather go scrounging round the countryside begging for crusts to stuff his greedy gut. Let me tell you, sir, help me, it's the truth. If he sets foot in King Odysseus's royal palace, salvos of footstools flung at his head by all the lords will crack his ribs as he runs the line of fire through the house." Wild, reckless taunts, and just as he passed Odysseus, the idiot lurched out with a heel and kicked his hip. But he couldn't knock the beggar off the path, he stood his ground so staunchly. Odysseus was torn. Should he wheel with his staff and beat the scoundrel senseless, or hoist him by the midriff, spit his skull on the rocks? He steeled himself instead, his mind in full control. But Eumaeus glared at the goatherd, cursed him to his face, then lifted up his hands and prayed his heart out, "O nymphs of the fountain, daughters of Zeus, if Odysseus ever burned you, the long thighs of lambs or kids covered with rich fat, now bring my prayer to pass. Let that man come back. Some god guide him now. He'd toss to the winds the flashes show you make Melanthius so cocksure, always strutting round the town while worthless field-hands leave your flocks a shambles." "Listen to him," the goatherd shouted back. "All bark and no bite from the vicious mutt. One fine day I'll ship him out in a black lugger miles from Ithaca. Sell him off for a good stiff price. Just let Apollo shoot Telemachus down with his silver bow today in the halls, or the suitors snuff his life out. As sure as I know, the day of the king's return is blotted out, the king is worlds away." With his parting shot he left them trudging on, and went and reached the royal house in no time. Slipping in, he took his seat among the suitors, facing Eurymachus, who favoured him the most. The carver set before him his plate of meat. A staid housekeeper brought the man his bread. And now at last the king and loyal swineherd, drawing near the palace, halted just outside, as the lyre's rippling music drifted round them, Phemius striking up a song for assembled guests, and the master seized his servant's hand, exclaiming, "Friend, what a noble house! Odysseus's house it must be, no mistaking it. You could tell it among a townful. Look! One building linked to the next, and the courtyard wall is finished off with a fine coping. The double doors are battle-proof. No man could break them down. I can tell a crowd is feasting there in force. Smell the savour of roasts, the ringing lyre. Listen, the lyre that God has made the friend of feasts." "An easy guess," you said, "you mere swineherd. For a man as keen as you at every turn, put